Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So again, tonight we have a difficult and somewhat controversial gospel. Jesus declares the lifelong permanence of marriage, and he does so with a language or in words that might even make us flinch or recoil. Quote, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her," unquote. These words upset the people that heard Jesus, and they can upset people today. You can get angry, even rebel against him. I want you to think for a moment about what is the most fundamental problem that our world faces, maybe our nation faces. And I have my own answer to that question. And perhaps you have an answer too. But I think the most fundamental or foundational problem in our country is the breakdown of the family. And the breakdown of the family starts with the breakdown of marriage. And the breakdown of marriage starts with the breakdown of courtship. Courtship is how we choose a spouse, how we go through the dating process. And the problem with courtship today is very often sex and love are confused or come way too early in that courtship. Sex is a holy and beautiful gift given by God. It is a gift that is supposed to be given to one's spouse in the context of marriage, and marriage is to be a lifelong commitment. The result of divorce often includes misery for one or both of the spouses, a sense of failure, disillusionment. Many people experience anxiety and unhappiness. Children can lose a sense of their foundation in life. And this is why our Lord teaches so strongly about the permanence of marriage. He's trying to uphold the standard from the beginning, from God's creation, if you will. It's no accident that as our Lord is talking about marriage and divorce, that he begins to speak about letting the children come to me. These two teachings aren't just haphazardly thrown together, but so often it is in the home and with the parents leading that children are brought to Christ. Let's look at the gospel a little more closely, part of it. The Pharisees and the Jews of Jesus' day were divided into a number of different groups, okay? The Pharisees was one of the groups, and they were respected and they were leaders. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked him, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" The gospel goes on to give this commentary on that question. They were testing him. They didn't care what his answer was. They wanted to trip him up because they knew that John the Baptist had spoken out against unlawful marriage. And John the Baptist was arrested for it and got his head chopped off by the king. And so they were setting Jesus up to fall into the same pit that John the Baptist fell into. And so Jesus, as he so often does, he entertains their question, but he asks them another question. So Jesus responds, "What did Moses command you?" And they replied, they gave the right answer. This is in the law of Deuteronomy. They said, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss his wife." And Moses did allow that, but he allowed it as a concession to human weakness. Moses recognized that the Jewish men were abandoning their wives altogether and in some cases killing them to open the way to marry somebody else. And so Moses commanded that they write a bill of divorce out and give it to her, that she would have the status to be able to get married again. And that's why Moses allowed that. But Jesus is going to take away that concession and essentially say, I'm going to give you the grace for marriage to be permanent as it was supposed to be from the beginning. Now, all of the Jews wanted to have the option of divorce. Even the apostles were flabbergasted by Jesus' answer. And so when they get him inside, they ask him again, and he repeats himself very clearly. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, we're reading from the Gospel of Mark today. The same incident is related to us in the Gospel of Matthew. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the apostles say, and I quote, if that is the case, it's better never to marry. If a divorce isn't an option, you just stay single, you know, why bother, basically. And so Jesus says, you know, again, holding all of us to this highest standard, says, let those who can accept this, accept this. Marriage. Marriage is good. It is a gift. It is a calling from God. It is a vocation. It is a path to holiness. It is, in the Catholic Church and among Christians, it is sealed by a sacrament that brings about a new covenant in the family. Marriage is necessary. We need marriage. We need marriage for the procreation and the education of children. And you're thinking to yourself, Father Mike, you don't need marriage to procreate children. And I would say, that's part of the problem, okay? Because marriage and sex are supposed to go together exclusively. That only within the confines of a bond of holy matrimony are people supposed to exchange that gift with one another. So I would say procreation and the education of children as God intends it can only happen in marriage. Today, we face many problems. Today, there's a tremendous amount of confusion between sex and love. Sex is sacred. It is holy. It is a gift from God. Love is a decision. It is a commitment. It is good times and bad, sickness and health. So whenever I have a young couple come to my office and we're going to talk about getting married, you know, it's kind of late in the game usually for me to start teaching them these things. I need some help, right? I need some help from mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles and godparents. And even tonight, I'm trying to explain a little bit about the importance and the sacredness of marriage. Where are you and I going to get our ideas about marriage from if we don't get them from God? From the television? From movies? From the internet? From our imagination? See, this is where so many children and so many people get their understanding of marriage from. But marriage is a holy and sacred institution. Our bodies are gifts given to us by God. Jesus Christ on the cross purchased us by paying the price beyond silver and gold, his own precious blood. And then we have this gift that we are to give to one other person in the confines of the sacrament of holy matrimony. There are many liars and thieves who want to steal the gift of marriage, want to steal the gift of our sexuality, both sadly inside the church and outside of the church. Marriage is this gift of self, and it brings about new life. Babies are not a disease to be prevented by a pill, nor are they a tumor to be removed by surgery. They are a gift from God, and they call forth sacrifice. Parents and godparents and grandparents and me, myself, as a pastor, I have to trust the young people here. I have to respect them enough to tell them this teaching. to tell them this truth, this holy and sacred gift, this blessed bond that should be strengthened. You know, since about 1950 or 1960, the consistency of the divorce rate has been unfortunately climbing. Now, it has leveled off, and it's even fallen a little bit in recent years, but they think it may be falling now because fewer and fewer people are getting married, okay? And so that's an unfortunate thing about demographics and studies and whatnot. But what happened in the 50s and 60s was contraception became very widespread. Sigmund Freud, who is the father of psychiatry, said, "Every kind of sexual perversion starts when sex and marriage and sex and contraception are separated, or sex and procreation are separated." The pill and contraception promised that marriages would be better, that fewer children would make for stronger families, that there would be better, more stable marriages, but in reality, exactly the opposite has happened. Marriages have become more selfish and more self-centered, and courtship has deteriorated and broken down, and so the family has broken down. And I go back to my original point that I made at the beginning of my homily, and that is that I think that the number one problem that we face in the world today is the breakdown of the family. And the breakdown of the family starts with the breakdown of marriage, and the breakdown of marriage starts with a breakdown of courtship and the understanding of how people are supposed to get to know one another and fall in love with one another and make that lifelong commitment to one another. You may have heard about this politician, to lighten the mood just a little bit. This politician, he was accused of being anti-Catholic, and he was worried that he was losing the Catholic vote. So he defended himself, and he said, "My fellow citizens, I am not anti-Catholic. I love Irish Catholics. I love Polish Catholics. I love French Catholics. I love Mississippi and Louisiana Catholics." And then he paused and said, "The only ones I don't like are those Roman Catholics." Now, this joke contains an element of truth, because very few people are anti-Catholics. They're against Catholic teaching. Catholic teaching on the sacredness of sex, on abortion, on same-sex marriage, on all of these things that our Lord, this teaching that our Lord gives tonight, the Jews, who they knew, we're going to get him now. We're going to be able to turn public opinion against him. And Jesus knew it too. Jesus said, "The day is coming. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be crucified." And now we can hear the drumbeat getting louder. Today, my brothers and sisters, we hear Jesus hold up an incredibly high standard. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, why is marriage falling apart? And how can we rebuild the foundation of it? Now, I don't have time tonight to get into annulments, to get into abandonment, to get into being too young when you got married, and all of those other real complications in life. What I'm doing is holding up this truth. And the truth is that what God brings together, no man must separate. And that we must enter into marriage with this unbreakable commitment. And we must train our young people to understand that sex is a gift of self to be given only in the context of marriage.